Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Is Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening. Welcome to Brannon House Live. Glad you are with us. My guest tonight will include Annie Cyrus. We're going to talk about an attack on her on our website the other night and Sean Hannity's attack on Kathy Barnett. We'll talk about that. Kathy Barnett apparently tweeted back in, 2015 about child pedophilia being at the foundation of Islam? Sorry that went over Sean's head, but I think there's a lot that goes over Sean's head. Been trying to warn my audience for years that I think Sean is controlled opposition and, in my opinion, one of the most uneducated people on talk radio. But we've, again, invite Sean on our broadcast live. We've invited him numerous times. He never seems to want to show up so that we could prove to you just how ignorant Sean really is when he doesn't have a teleprompter. I don't use a teleprompter for Brannon House Live, unlike apparently Sean uses one every night. It's got to be in that teleprompter. So we'd like to have Sean come on. And he can counter my accusation, which is that he's the most unintelligent man on talk television and radio. And I think we can prove that pretty quick by asking him just a few basic questions, because he keeps showing how uneducated he is. And apparently today he wanted to act as though the statement that pedophilia is really at the foundation of Islam was a ridiculous statement. Well, again, not shocking that he would find that hard to understand, being so uneducated about many issues, including Islam. But as you know, I've been producing television and documentaries and radio shows exposing Islam for years. And I've learned a lot from guys like Usama Dakdok, born and raised in Egypt, speaks Arabic, translated the Quran verse by verse into perfect English. I've learned a lot from Shahram Haidian, born in Iran. Annie Cyrus, born in Iran. Maybe Sean would do well to spend hours interviewing these guys on his shows, as I have done. But apparently, Usama can't get on there. And he's tried. I think he's called in a few times. But apparently, Sean doesn't want to hear it. Maybe it's because Sean has been aligned with Fox News for so many years. And Fox News, at one time, I think, had a big stockholder that was tied back to Islam. We'll talk with Annie here in a minute. Then we're going to talk with Naomi Wolf. Now, I was reading Naomi Wolf's bio. Man, she might be one of the most liberal people, if her bio is true, in that she still believes these things. If Naomi Wolf's bio is still what she believes today, she would probably be one of the most liberal progressives that I've ever interviewed. And I want to ask her, do you still believe all of these things that you once wrote? But yet, why would I interview her? Well, I want to interview her because I want to find out why someone that has had such, I would say, liberal ideas, for sure, feminist liberal ideas, is now warning about the Biden regime. Is this an example of where maybe conservatives and liberals can agree that we disagree, but we want to disagree in a nice way and have the freedom to disagree? In other words, She doesn't want to see me shut down, and I don't want to see her shut down. If she's liberal and progressive and wants to write books and have radio and articles and espouse her liberal progressive worldview, have at it. And I would think she wouldn't want to have me shut down from proclaiming my conservative Christian worldview. Can we agree to disagree and have a debate? That's what I want to talk to her about tonight in relation to the fact that apparently she now has become victim of the progressives. Apparently she's spoken too much truth about the vaccine, about the Biden administration. So it'd be very interesting to get her perspective. That's what I'm trying to do when I interview her tonight. I don't think that she and I are going to agree on a lot of major points, but we can maybe agree on the fact that we ought to have the right to speak our opinion and have freedom of speech in America. That's something that Alan Dershowitz and I have talked about. Alan certainly would be someone I would disagree on so many issues, but Alan agrees with my right to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, as I agree with him to have his right of freedom of speech. So maybe there is something that the Biden regime will have accomplished, as bringing conservatives and progressives together under the banner of fighting for free speech and fighting against fascism. Then I'll be joined by Dr. James Thorpe. He was only allowed to be with us for a few minutes the other night because we had such a packed schedule. I had to get to the interview with Pat Boone. But he's going to come back on tonight as an OBGYN to talk about all the birth defects, all the babies that are dying from the moms who've had the COVID shot, and talk about his great fear of the massive infertility rate he is now already experiencing from moms that have taken and young ladies that have taken the shot. So a busy news night. Let's start out right away with my Persian friend, Annie Cyrus. Annie, welcome. She's also associate producer with my network, WVW, WVW-TV, and she's associate producer with Lindell Television. She's been working for me and with me for many years, and then when we built Lindell TV, we brought her over here to work with us as associate producer, and now she has her own show we were happy to carve out time for her at 2:30 right here on Lindell TV. Annie, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me back, Brandon.
All right, Andy, let's go to the screenshot for the sake of time. We've got a lot to cover. Let's go to the screenshot. This is what someone put up on our website, I think on Friday night. My born and raised Iran hairdresser happened to see the first part of her speech, meaning yours, at the Christian podium, and she said Annie's story doesn't happen like that unless it's a very teeny country town. She said foreigners get paid well for exaggerating their stories for money, for broadcast. Is it true? Question mark. My hairdresser is a very strong in her Christian faith. Has been here since the 1970s and quickly became a citizen. 7 years of classes. I've been fooled and gut punched by the medical institute since August when I found this channel. Please tell me y'all don't tell less for your viewers. I don't know what she means by that, but all right. Sorry to be a downer. Just don't know who to believe now. All right, so Annie saw this, and we thought we would address it here. Annie, along with then getting to Sean Hannity's attack of Kathy Barnett. But let's start with this, Annie.
Sure. First, let me start here that on my show today that will be available on frankenspeech.com, I address part of this. So anybody who wants to get the, you know, basics, you can go watch my show. But I will start from the very top. As you know, Brandon, I'm fairly new to my own faith. I was saved in 2017. But one thing I know for sure is an Iranian who's strong in her faith of Christianity would never, ever defend Islamic Republic of Iran by silencing someone like me who's, forget about my story, who's simply on camera every day trying to warn my fellow Americans and my fellow Christians. I don't think an Iranian Christian would do that.
So my question is, Annie, do you think this is a bot? Is this an Iranian bot? Or is this someone in America that's an agent of Iran? Or is this someone, a hairdresser, this Iranian hairdresser, is she just deceiving this American and this American is bought? Well, I mean, there could be so much going on. There's an awful lot of propaganda in the country and outside the country from Iran, correct?
That's very correct. Honestly, everything you guessed could be correct. Another possibility could be that she's just an Iranian who is trying to keep her relations with Iran, meaning keeping her properties she owns in Iran, keeping her family there, going and coming and visiting them, because a lot of Iranians who are not necessarily pro the regime, they get along to go along. They don't want their houses or properties, because remember, a lot of Iranians, they take the American dollar here and then go, because American dollar in Iran, I mean, honestly, with $2,000, you're a rich person. With $10,000, you buy a house. So those who make money in America, they send it back to Iran regardless of the sanctions. They have ways through Canada to send the money from here to Canada to family members. In Canada, there's no sanction. From Canada, you straight send the money to Iran, no problems whatsoever. So a lot of them do this. They try to defend Islamic Republic of Iran to keep their own life here in Iran comfortable. That's another possibility.
Here's a picture of you as a little gal in Iran. Sharia survivor and former child bride. I mean, you've showed a lot of pictures about your family. And so, I mean, I don't understand why this person wants to attack you. But here is also the civil code of the Islamic Republic of Iran. That has to do with the attack by Sean Hannity. All right, let's finish this topic, then move to Sean Hannity. So what more do you want to say about this?
Well, actually, that's the thing. If you would show the slideshows, these are the proof that either the hairdresser, if she exists, or the person who made up a hairdresser are not only lying, but they are covering up for Islamic Republic of Iran. I started with an article from the Civil Code of Islamic Republic of Iran to this day.
Okay.
My story started in 1983. Today is what, May 16th of 2022. To this day, that article is still part of Islamic Republic of Iran's Civil Code that mentions the age, the puberty, or
guys.
Sorry, maturity. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was telling the guys
there you go. So it basically said the age of maturity for boys is 15, for girls is 9 years old. If you go to next slide, marriage before the age of maturity is prohibited. So at 9 is already allowed to go, but there's a note there. Marriage before puberty by the permission of the guardian and on condition of taking into consideration the words of interest is proper. So forget about 9. Thanks to Mohammed, the male guardian being father or grandfather, they can decide the girl can get married at any age. They just can't consummate the marriage until 9. This is the code, civil code of the country. How could somebody say this doesn't happen like Annie's story? And then if you go to the...
Yeah. No, well, it actually kind of dovetails well, not only the attack on you Friday night that we read, but Sean Hannity acting like Kathy Barnett talking in 2015, I guess, in a tweet about one of the foundations of Islam is child pedophilia. And Sean Hannity, you heard it today. I didn't, but you told me. Tell our audience what Sean said, because these stories actually dovetail really well together, don't they?
Well, they do. They tell very well together, because when Sean Hannity comes out defending Dr. Oz's request, which was Dr. Oz's request was Kathy Barnett should be removed from the debate and the race.
Well, I think Dr. Oz should be removed from the country. That's my opinion.
Actually, the presentation I've sent you that we're going to go over for Dr. Oz's situation, trust me, by the time we go through those slides, everyone will agree that Dr. Oz should not only nowhere to be around our government and politics, she should possibly not be even in this country.
Exactly.
I understand he was born here. But this guy's following some really terrifying stuff.
All right, let's keep moving for the sake of time. What's this next one here?
Okay, so what I did for you is, because she mentioned it's like tiny country stuff, I went into, at the bottom you see the link, I went to the Islamic Republic of Iran's Office of Registry and Statistics, and I pulled 3 provinces of Iran, starting with Tehran, which is the capital. Between 2018 and 2019, the report of marriage, everything is in Farsi and English, so you can see it yourself. Between age of 10 to 14, 2,323 girls became wives and gave birth to 2,259 children between 2018 and 19. And between the age of 15 and 19, you're looking at 55,000 some child brides. So I did the calculation on my own. about 7.12% of teenagers in Tehran between 2018 and 2019 became wives. Does that look like a tiny number of a small country gravel road areas to you, Brennan?
And that's what the lady was saying, that what happened to Annie, she says, may happen in small, tiny towns. What you're showing is this is common practice in Iran.
Yes. And here's the thing. There are 31 provinces. That's how you say it, right?
Yep.
Provinces. 31 provinces in Iran. I just went over three of them on this slideshow. Only three. And you see the numbers averaging between 7.12% to 16% to 34% of the population of 10 to 19-year-old being wives.
Yeah, here's the slide we were on. Then I'm going to go to the next slide. There we go. So there the numbers change. There we go.
No, the one before this one is actually this one. The name of the province is Khorasan, and it's very important because I have something to tell about this. The percentage, the number of 10 to 14 is 3.06%, and then 34% of 15 to 19, in average 18.19 of teenagers are wives in that province. Now, why is this province important? Because the capital of this province is the second most populated Islamic holy city in the world. And that is why 34% of 15 to 19 girls are married off, and 3% of under 14. Remember, my age range was under 14, Brennan.
And here's the next province.
I'm sorry. This is the third most populated province in Iran. And again, 1.1% of under 14, 16% of 15 to 19. And in average, 8.82% of the entire and it's only 4 million population.
Well, what is it called when you marry off someone that's 14, 15, 16, 17 years old? We call that...
It's called pedophilia.
Yeah, and what did Sean Hannity do? He mocked Kathy Barnett for saying this kind of thing doesn't happen. And someone was trying to say the other night on feedback on our website that your story is maybe in a tiny part of Iran. So again, these stories fit really well together because all of this evidence is refuting Sean Hannity for acting like this isn't really a major part of Islam, because it is, isn't it?
Exactly. And here's the thing. Let me remind you. I picked three provinces out of one country. We have 50 Islamic countries. Iran has 31 provinces. You do the calculation and you look at the millions of child brides that I claim still exist in Islamic countries. That is not including the Europe and America, just 100% Islamic countries. Now, I just want to add a note here, by the way, for anyone who might on the comment and say, hey, listen, we have teenage moms in America. We have these. Okay, let's make one thing clear. In United States of America, we do not have a civil code that declares a 9-year-old girl as an adult woman. Nor do we have a legal system that breaks down the stats of married wives starting age 10 to 14. We don't have that. The numbers we just showed you in Tehran between 2018 and 2019, about 0.37% of the 10 to 14-year-old girl faced a statutory rape legally with no consequences by the man who committed it. That's proper translation, right, Brennan?
Yeah. All right,
so that's the difference. We're not denying rape happens in America. We're not denying we have teenage moms. But it is not a legal system. No man has the right to legally go marry a 10-year-old and go to register office and put it in paperwork saying, hey, this is my 10-year-old wife who's going to have a baby next year.
All right, let's go to this one here.
We're going to officially, I actually said this on a group of counter jihad movement people who told me we shouldn't defend Kathy for what she said. I said, actually, that's exactly what I'm going to do. So Kathy Barnett claims that pedophilia is cornerstone of Islam. We're looking at Quran chapter 4, verse 3, that says, if you fear you will not do just with orphan girls, you may marry whichever other woman seem good to you. 2, 3, or 4. Orphan girl means an underage girl with no parents, correct?
Correct.
The only way, actually, you know what? I'm not going to explain this. Can we go to next slide?
Yep.
Let's not rely on me being biased. This is a hadith where Aisha, the 6-year-old wife of Muhammad, explained the meaning of chapter 4, verse 3. Brandon, would you do me a favor and read it you so my accent doesn't get in the way?
Yeah. Aisha said, "Oh, my nephew," this verse has been revealed in connection with, "an orphan girl under the guardianship of her guardian who is attracted by her wealth and beauty and intends to marry her with a mar less than what other women of her standard deserve. So they," such guardians, "have been forbidden to marry them unless they do justice to them and give them their full mar, and they are ordered to marry other women instead of them."
By the way, mehr is the marriage money. It's when you buy the property known as your wife, you pay proper mehr for them. Mine was $50. That was my mehr. Now, clearly, Aisha herself is admitting that if a guardian falls in love with the orphan he's a guardian of, as long as he paid the right price, he can have her. Isn't that what that verse is saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Right there. Now, it says, woman of her estate. Two things, funny enough. It's, if you can't do just then, you know, marry other women of her standards. So an orphan girl is being referred to as a woman. Again, going back to the herder, sir. My story isn't just mine. Every girl in Iran becomes a woman at age 9. But moving forward, her standard means what? Same age, same gender, same situation, right? It's not telling him to go get an adult wife. It's just saying go get another wife that you can afford, basically. If this orphan is too expensive, go find another underage girl that you can afford. And on the verse also says 1, 2, 3, or 4. For anyone who asks, why are Muslims allowed to have 4 wives? Chapter 4, verse 3 is why. You can possibly have 4 child brides at the same time if you can afford them, if you can pay the right price for them.
All right, next slide, just for the sake of time, because we got about 10 minutes.
Next one is Aisha herself admitting on book 62 of Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith 64, that she was 6 years old when Muhammad married her and he consummated the marriage at age 9. Don't listen to Imam of Peace when he said, oh no, Aisha was 18 when Muhammad married her. Aisha was 18 when Muhammad died. Muhammad was 63 years old when he married Aisha, on her own words, when Aisha was 6 years old. So how is Kathy Burnett wrong? How did she make things up? I honestly don't, I have never talked to this lady. I don't even know if she has ever read the Quran. But if she has, good for her, because she's got her facts straight. If she hasn't, she has enough understanding to actually state facts.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
This one is actually the backup. Another hadith by Aisha repeating again that she was 6 and Muhammad did take her home. But when she got sick, which I'm guessing a 6-year-old would possibly have too much stress to be married, they waited until she gets better. But then unexpectedly, Muhammad consummated the marriage when she was 9. This is just me having double facts instead of one.
Okay.
Now, this one is chapter 65, verse 4, where it says, if you want to divorce your wife, you have to wait 3 months or 90 days or 3 terms of their monthly period before you let them go. But it also mentioned, and those who have not menstruated as well. I don't think you can divorce a wife you didn't marry. So if you can if you can divorce a girl who has not even menstruated or reached puberty, I'm pretty sure you married her as a pedophile when she was 9, 10, maybe 11.
Mm.
And this one is actually about boys. On chapter 52, verse 24, it says, good Muslims who go to heaven, there will circulate among them servant boys, especially for them, as they were pearls well protected. This is referring to virgin boys being handed to good Muslims who blew themselves up and went to Allah's heaven.
So the
they
72
get virgin boys.
So the 72 perpetual virgins that are discussed when someone blows himself up in jihad, does not mean all virgin women. It could mean virgin women, virgin minor girls, and virgin minor boys.
Oh, no, no, no. The 72 versions are all female. It okay. could be a five-year-old virgin girl, but the boys are separate. That's added bonus.
So you get the 72 virgin girls plus the boys.
Exactly. And this is where you hear, for example, as Kathy Burnett mentioned, our soldiers in Afghanistan were told to keep quiet when they watched Bachabazi take place, which is Afghan men basically raping little boys. Well, she's right again.
Well, by the way, I read an article at Front Page Mag many years ago that some of our American medical doctors had to actually teach the Islamic men how you actually impregnate a woman because they were so
yes.
busy involved in child pedophilia with boys, they did not know how to impregnate a woman. Had you heard that?
Yes, I have actually. I have read that report myself. And yes, that's again tiny itsy bitsy stuff numbers to some people apparently. But the number of little boys being raped in Afghanistan is so high that some of the men had to be taught how to properly start a family.
So you think Sean Hannity knows any of this? As he's what did Sean Hannity have to say today? What did that cornball have to say today?
Honestly, I think Sean Hannity knows all of this. Remember, Sean Hannity is the one who canceled my interview because I wasn't willing to say radical Islam on his show. Sean Hannity knows very well all of this. There is no way you've been in the scene as long as Sean Hannity has been and worked for a network that is owned mainly by Saudi Arabia and you don't know what happens in Islamic countries.
And why do you say mainly owned by Saudi Arabia?
Because Fox News, a lot of the share belongs to Saudi Arabia.
So they've had shareholders that come from Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
Okay.
Same with Twitter that has Pakistani, Saudi Arabians, and Iranians.
So you're saying that Sean Hannity is a useful idiot?
I'm saying Sean Hannity likes his paycheck too much to be a truth teller.
Is he controlled opposition, you think?
Yes.
That makes him a useful idiot. That's useful idiot, for those who don't know, is a historical term.
I didn't know that.
It's an historical term. Controlled opposition, useful idiot. They're all very, very similar. But yeah, Lenin called the people that went along to get along like this useful idiots because anyway. But so yeah, so I think that, again, what we're showing is that Sean Hannity, at the end of the day, I believe, doesn't really care about truth, does he?
Well, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. And if we do have time for two more slides,
yep.
I want to. If you remember, when I was on, go to the next one and then one after that, because
okay.
we already went over these on the other one.
Okay.
One more. There we go. So if you remember on Friday, when you were reading Dr. Oz's Wikipedia, you mentioned on Wikipedia, it clearly says, Dr. Oz is a Sufi Muslim. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Would you please, again, I do apologize, I always abuse your perfect accent. Would you read this for us?
Okay. Ashraf Ali Thanwi, I don't know if I got that right, often referred to honor officially as, you want to help me with that part?
Hakim al-Mu'mat.
Was a central figure of Islamic religious, spiritual, and intellectual life in late 19th and 20th century South Asia and continues to be highly influential today. He was an author, jurist, and a Sufi mentor of the Chishti Order?
Chishti Order.
Chishti Order. He was an alumnus of the Darul Ulum Deoband, and I think I heard my buddy Phil Haney talk about that all the time.
Yes, that's Deobandis right there for you.
Phil Haney talked about them all the time. And authored several hundred books, including this book here, Bayan ul Quran, and how do you say that there, Annie?
Beheshti Zabar.
We are helping each other tonight. His reworking of traditional Islamic knowledge and spiritualization of Sharia to make it accessible to the common people had a direct impact on modern Islam. Thus?
Tablighi Jamaat.
The chief transnational Islamic movement with between 100 and 150 million followers that leads the spiritual education of ordinary Muslims is considerably inspired by his writings and activities.
Okay, so we established this guy. Okay, there we go. We are going to read a few of his fatwas, of Islamic fatwa, in one of his books that every Sufi Muslim follows. It's all yours. Go.
If a person has sexual intercourse with a minor girl, ghusl will not be... will not be obligatory on her, but in order to get her into the habit, she should be made to bathe.
What is the sexual intercourse with?
A minor girl.
Okay, let's go to the next one quickly.
If a woman is underage, but not so small that if she has not so small that if one has intercourse with her, she is a fear of the vaginal tissues tearing to such an extent that the vagina and anus will virtually come together. Then by the insertion of the glands of the, all right, you guys can all read that. I have my word.
Yeah.
On the I'm man.
Sorry,
okay. Blah
I
blah blah blah.
Yes. This is the man. Dr. Oz chose to follow the sect of Islam from. You see why he shouldn't even be here? You see why I am here proudly as an ex-Muslim and a survivor of child abuse and sexist slavery defending Kathy Burnett? Because this is the fatwa book Dr. Oz has to read as a Sufi Muslim. I just gave you two. This is what disgusting, disturbing Islam stands for. And did you remember we read that he is part of the modern Islam? If this is the modern, you can only imagine the perfect example of a man the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, did.
Wow. All right, a couple more slides and we got the next guest up. Here's the next one. If the wife
the same.
Saying the same thing, just another page.
No, it says if your wife is so small that she's incapable of having sexual intercourse, take her home. If she can somehow pleasure you, feed her and give her clothing.
Wow. All right. And this last one?
Everybody knows the Shia fatwa of all time, Khomeini. A man can have sexual pleasure from a child as young as a baby. And I rest my case on this last one.
So, Sean Hannity what? Might want to get himself educated before he takes off too hard after Kathy Barnett. And
also the hairdresser, Khomeini is the supreme leader of where I was born and supposedly you were born. And that was his countrywide law on having sexual
so
attraction.
So for the hairdresser from Iran to say that little girls are not trafficked, minor girls are not trafficked, maybe in small, tiny villages and backwoods, baloney. We just showed you tons of documents from leading Islamic scholars, the Quran itself, correct?
Yes.
And then from the Ayatollah Khomeini himself.
Exactly.
Amazing how these
we
two stories
fit
together.
We went to Sufis, we went to Sunnis, we went to Shias, and they all say the same thing. All of them. They might use different language between Arabic, Pashto, Urdu, Dari, and Farsi, some Hindu, but they all say the same thing.
Wow. Excellent report. Excellent job. Thank you, Annie. Her website, liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com. Thank you, Annie, for all your work, all your research. And to the person that came on our site during my show the other night and said that and criticized her, I hope you will share this segment when it's posted tomorrow at frankspeech.com with your Iranian hairdresser, and we can educate that person. Right, Annie?
Absolutely. Thank you, Brandon, for giving me the chance to explain furthermore.
And your show is here every day at 2:30 Central, correct?
Correct. Monday through Friday at 2:30 Central.
Live Up to Free with Annie Cyrus right here on Lindell TV and on demand at frankspeech.com. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Brandon.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to mypillow.com and use the promo code WVW as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110 plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in World View Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please, do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.
Joining me now is Naomi Wolf. Naomi, welcome to Brandon House Live and Lindell TV. First time guest. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Naomi, you're a very interesting individual. I've been reading your bio, and I don't know if you did any homework on who I am, but you know, based on your bio, I could be one of the most conservative people you ever talked to, and you might could be one of the most liberal people I've ever interviewed, although I like to interview my friend who's very liberal in certain areas, Alan Dershowitz. But Alan and I agree to disagree. Alan knows where I'm coming from. Alan knows that Mike Lindell and myself are very conservative Christians. They knows where we're... But Alan comes on and has interviewed me many times the last year and a half. He worked with Mike Lindell on cases. Why? Because Alan is an old school progressive. He's an old school liberal. He's an old school Democrat. He believes in my right to say it, and I believe in his right to say what he believes, and we can debate, and we can have those tough debates and still be friendly with each other. Now, reading your bio, you sound like you yourself at one time, maybe not now, so that's my question. Are you still considering yourself a liberal progressive, or have your views from what they were in some of your books changed over the years? That'd be my first question, just so we figure out where we're all coming from.
Sure. And thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for being on.
Well, I feel like I really haven't changed. I've been writing since 2008 with my book, The End of America, which talked about how we could lose our democracy here in the United States if we weren't careful. I feel like I've always been a supporter of the Constitution, of free speech, and of human rights. Those are just American values. And as you say, people should be able to be conservative, be liberal, be whatever, and unite around our Constitution and our shared values as supporters of our republic. I do feel that my team has changed recently. And so I call myself an independent these days, but I feel sad that the liberal tradition, the progressive tradition, you know, it's got a very noble history in terms of protecting freedoms of speech, you know, championing human rights. And I do believe, and I make the case in my new book, that with the Obama administration and the pandemic, people on my side or my former side of the aisle have really abandoned their responsibility to uphold human rights in the Constitution and have kind of gone lockstep into what's a transpartisan assault on liberties around the world.
So would you say that they are acting in a manner that would be consistent with, say, fascism of traditionally fascist countries, Mussolini, book burnings, deplatforming, silencing, prosecuting the political enemies? Would you say that what's happening today would be consistent with that historical fascism that most of us learn about in school and are taught is not acceptable?
Sadly, yes. In this country, that is what's happening. I mean, my, you know, friends and loved ones embraced a discrimination society without a murmur. You know, the president said that unvaccinated people were kind of selfish and a danger to others and made very unscientific claims. And people I know and love who would never discriminate against people for their sexual orientation or their race or their religion got right on board creating a two-tier society in which vaccinated people could enjoy, you know, full rights in society, and unvaccinated people were marginalized and otherized and forced to quit their jobs or accept a medical intervention they didn't choose, which is totally against the law. But I do want to I do want to caution you a little bit. This threat, this danger, it's really more than partisan. It happens that the fascists in America right now happen to be the left. But if you look at the whole lockstep of tyranny right now that the pandemic ushered in, and the case I make in The Bodies of Others is that the pandemic was an opportunity for a few bad actors like tech companies and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and certainly the Chinese Communist Party to make war on the West, make war on our families, make war on our children and on our freedoms. But if you look around the world, in Canada, it's a liberal who's a fascist. In Britain, it's a conservative who's a fascist. In Australia, it's conservatives who are fascists. In China, it's communists. So this is meta-national. And right now, we're at risk of losing our sovereignty. I'm sure you've heard that on May 22nd to the 28th, there's going to be a discussion, a treaty that probably will be signed by the World Health Organization to drain over 190 countries of their sovereignty. Well, this is not a left-right issue. This is an issue that transcends nation states and transcends parties.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I would agree with you. I don't know if you, how you feel about Tragedy and Hope, written in 1966 by the Georgetown professor Carol Quigley. But Carol Quigley and Bill Clinton gave him a shout-out at his 1992 Democratic acceptance speech. Carol Quigley wrote several books, but one of them, Tragedy and Hope, as I said, came out in 1966. And he was explaining, he wasn't warning about globalism. Carol Quigley was in favor of it. He was not warning of it, he was explaining it. As he writes in his own book, he'd been allowed to see some of the documents and the plans of some of the globalists, and he said, hey, these are great things. What are we going to be quiet about this for? Let's tell everybody. We should be happy for this. So he explains how he wanted to be quite vocal about it. They wanted to kind of wait until the country was able to accept where the globalists wanted to go. Kind of same thing as George Bernard Shaw. He was like, hey, let's be more vocal about this. And some of his friends were like, no, you know, we don't want to say outright what we're about. But Carol Quigley said, look, the globalists and these people are going to take both parties. And if you throw out one party, they have so infiltrated both parties, it won't disrupt their agenda. So I guess I would have to say I'm in agreement that on the right, we have a lot of people running around that claim to be Republicans or conservatives, but they really aren't. They're not saying a word about what the WHO is about to do that you just brought up. They went along with the whole lockdown, mass mandating vaccines. I mean, they went along with all of it. And, I mean, those are on. So we can't, I know that some of the guys on Fox News for years always want to make everything a right-left paradigm, right-left paradigm. And I know that's part of the Hegelian dialectic process to get us to all, come together and fight it out and then go to option C that we can all agree on, but to keep the ball moving down the field. But reality is, I do think that a lot of these guys on the right in the Republican Party are just as dangerous as the people on the left.
Well, you're absolutely right, which is why we kind of have to snap out of the, the theater that we've been presented with. You're completely right that it's not a matter of party. I mean, I'm in New York State and our governor is a Democrat and she's a tyrant and we're under emergency law and she keeps extending it every 30 days. And there's, very dangerous regulations that she's trying to get through and she's able to because of emergency law to make us vulnerable to being hauled away into quarantine camps if we're exposed to a quote-unquote bloodborne pathogen, and then we can't get out pending a court order. And we narrowly defeated a similar regulation that was floated in Washington State. And this is the same regulation that has passed in Australia that leads people to be detained without charge or trial. And in China, they're just quarantining people without recourse.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? Did you say blood-borne pathogen? So like maybe if we had the outbreak of a hemorrhagic fever where people are bleeding the nose or the eyes and we came in contact with those people, now all of a sudden, boom, we're being hauled off to a concentration COVID camp for isolation?
It's very interesting you mentioned a hemorrhagic fever because that's literally the one disease that's mentioned in these regulations.
And you do know that maybe you don't know, we've had on Dr. Li Mingyan, who was the WHO doctor in Hong Kong from China, who made her way to America, has been warning about much of this, had her on again last week. But she has been saying she's very concerned that China has been working on a hemorrhagic fever to release on purpose. We have video from many years ago where Dr. Fauci is saying it is not airborne. You have to come in contact with the fluids. And yet we have had on a former Pfizer employee, Karen Kingston, showing us all the government research and patents for working on making the hemorrhagic fever some kind of airborne thing, spraying it or aerosoling it, whatever. And I don't know what they're up to. I have no idea what they're up to. I can only interview the people. I can only listen to what they're saying and come to the conclusion that apparently they're planning on that. Why else, Dr. Wolf, would they be laying down legislation already to come in contact with some kind of
blood-borne pathogen?
Yes.
Yeah, you're asking exactly the right questions. And the pieces are all falling into place. I can tell you as a former political consultant to a vice president and a presidential campaign that people don't go to the trouble of drafting regulations or legislation if they don't intend to use them. It's expensive, it's laborious, it requires lawyers. If a regulation says bloodborne pathogen, we should expect a bloodborne pathogen. The other thing that I've found, and I detail this in the bodies of others, is that China, I say these days that we're under attack. I say these days that we've had a national security breach and that China is famous for, all about this, committing what they call asymmetrical warfare, meaning subverting us without a shot being fired. So I've got 3,000 highly credentialed volunteers through the War Room and my platform Daily Clout, doctors, nurses, biostatisticians, lab clinicians, medical fraud researchers, and they've been going through the Pfizer documents, the 55,000 documents released under court order.
That they wanted to hold for like 75 years, right?
Exactly right. And what we're seeing in those secret documents, now not secret, are harms and damages to the human body, deaths, fetal abnormalities, spontaneous abortions, encephaly, hemorrhages, strokes, heart attacks, neurological disorders, so extensive. And the FDA knew and turned a blind eye or colluded. These harms are so extensive, over 1,200 deaths in 3 months. Four people died the day they were injected. I mean, I could go on and on. The injection damages your leukocytes, which is your helper cells, your immunity cells. The injection goes through your bloodstream and lodges in your liver and your spleen and your kidneys and spleen, lymph nodes, ovaries.
What you don't know is right after you, we're about to have an OBGYN on that sees 6,000 to 7,000 women a year in his practice, and he's got PowerPoint slides and presentation to back up everything you're saying.
Absolutely. And in fact, I was just talking to a reporter about this reports of almost double neonatal deaths, newborn deaths in Scotland a year after women were injected. Almost all of Scotland is vaccinated. And the Department of Defense databases that were released by whistleblowers represented by Tom Rentz show that women in the military who were pregnant after they got vaccinated had an 80% increase in fetal abnormalities. My point being, I've done research on the SEC filings for BioNTech, which is the company that Pfizer bought to make the mRNA vaccine, that shows a 100% tech transfer in 2021 to China. And it's not a German company. It's a German company with a partnership with China. Fosun Pharmaceuticals, their partner, is headed by a very senior member of the Chinese Communist Party. So all of these red flags, really indicate to me that we've had a national security breach. And China has a white paper in which they predict that by 2030, they'll be the world's hegemon, the world's superpower, and they'll have the world's database of DNA, and that they'll be the world's superpower because the rest of the world, especially the West, will be preoccupied with struggling with their health. So I personally think that there's a demonic level of, you know, crimes against humanity here, and that our adversary China is looks like they're intimately involved in this, and it looks like we've got a captured administration who's going along with it, and people are behaving literally treasonously. So it's a very serious situation.
I absolutely agree. So tell me this: when you say that this administration, the Biden administration, looks to be captured by China, I agree with that. What do you mean by that?
Well, Hunter Biden's laptop, right? And this is very embarrassing for me because I voted for the Biden administration. But
do you regret that vote?
I mean, that's tough, right? I mean, yes, obviously, seeing what I see now. But, you know, if we're going to be honest, President Trump made some pretty horrible mistakes that made it very difficult for someone like me to vote for him. We can talk about that in more detail if you want. But here we are, like, everyone's got to look in the mirror. The Republicans have to look in the mirror. The Democrats have to look in the mirror. But basically, Hunter Biden appears to have taken over $3 million from a senior member of the Chinese intelligence community. And when you're that compromised, when your family's that compromised, it's like a hostage situation. I don't think this administration is acting independently. If you look back at what's happened in the last 2 years, it's been one annihilation of American prestige and power after another, whether it was abandoning people, including soldiers in Afghanistan, to the president checking his watch multiple times during a military funeral, to leaking a decision or a draft from the Supreme Court, one after another after another. It's as if systematically our country has been mocked and eroded from within.
I agree.
I know how White Houses work. I've been in and around White Houses as a spouse and as an employee, and you can't do that unless the people at the top are in on it, colluding with it. And you can't have, like, who is the FDA? The FDA reports to the White House. The president is the boss of the FDA. And the way politics works, you can't have an agency like the FDA colluding with thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans being damaged, harmed, you know, babies destroyed in utero, people dying. You know, that would burn up so much political capital if it came to light, which it is now. You can't have that unless you know the White House is on board. So I think we've got a captured administration, and I think people have to be investigated for treason.
Dr. Wolf? What does that mean for us in the next 2 or 3 years? What does that look what does that look like for people like myself who are, I'm a conservative evangelical Christian, okay? But I'm not intolerant. I'm not a bigot. If I was, I wouldn't have you on to share your position or give you any airtime. I do believe in my convictions. I know you believe in your convictions, and I think we're convicted enough in our own convictions and adult enough to say that we can have a conversation without you saying you endorse and embrace my worldview in all areas, or I endorse or embrace your worldview in all areas. But we can certainly talk about these issues. We can debate the issues. But at the end of the day, I value your freedom of speech, because I know if your freedom of speech is taken over by an administration, well, the next administration can take over my freedom of speech. Or maybe the administration can take away both our freedoms of speech.
Yeah.
Because aren't you also on the left losing your freedoms of speech, just as Mike Lindell on the right is losing his? And aren't you guys losing it over some of the same things, talking about the government, talking about vaccines, talking about our system in America? Aren't you both on the right and the left losing your system from the same, your freedoms of speech from the same government?
I mean, absolutely. One of the first moments in which I realized that the left had lost its mind or lost its soul is when the Biden administration was first elected, and there was this purge on social media of President Trump. You know, by the way, his lawyer is my lawyer. We're suing Twitter for deplatforming us, and there was a purge of conservative voices, and liberals were cheering, And I was horrified because liberals should know, you know, really more than anyone, they're supposed to be the free speech people, that first they come for the guys you don't like and then they come for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, look, people are ignorant of history. People on the left right now are super ignorant of history. They're getting in bed with, they're aligning with the way the wind is blowing. And they're aligning with tyranny without realizing that historically people who align with tyranny have no protection. You know, they're not going to be safe. If there's a ministry of truth, the ministry of truth is going to go after first you, then me, and then all my friends. You know, if we lose our sovereignty and we have militias without any allegiance to our commander in chief, but who report to Bill Gates or to the WHO showing up outside our doors, they're not going to spare, you know, liberals because their guy was in power. I mean, it's a very stupid move to think that you're safe just because you're aligned with the way the wind is blowing right now.
What do you think? If you've used some very interesting words, using up political capital, this is not a smart thing to do. You know, if you're talking about being reelected or concerned about being reelected, why would you do these things? So I ask this, are they concerned about being reelected, or are they planning on doing something that guarantees reelection? Or C, or is there going to be a hemorrhagic fever outbreak and there will not be any elections? Or was it, let's do as much damage as we can in the 4 years we got and then and walk out of town? I mean, what is the long-range plan? It doesn't seem to be politically expedient for themselves what they're doing.
I'm really glad you're asking these questions. These are absolutely the questions we have to ask. And I have a pretty sad answer. Look, you know, I was taught as a political consultant to read events backwards, meaning political operatives always start with a goal that they want to attain. And then they take that goal to the message shop and they say, like, create a story, create a narrative to get people on board to get to that goal. So I'm often called a conspiracy theorist just because I've been in those rooms where history is decided, and I know that they always start with the outcome. So because I know that, I've been very worried for a year and a half that they're not behaving as if there's going to be accountability, normal political accountability.
Exactly.
They're not behaving in any way as if they will ever face trials or investigations, or as if they have to worry about getting elected in the midterms or in 2024. They're 1,000% not doing that chess. So when you're not doing that chess in politics, that means there's some other game you're playing. And I've been predicting this with pretty much 100% accuracy for a year and a half from having studied the histories of tyranny. And right now, I will say, and no one likes it when I say this, I don't expect that there will be midterms. Based on history, there will be some fake gestural midterm, but there will be a crisis. There will be an October surprise of some kind, a November surprise. There will be an outbreak of some horrible disease. We will be locked in our homes, or else we'll be, deterred, especially the red states, people who vote in person, who are conservatives, will be deterred from voting in person. There will be a mayhem, maybe crime on the street, gangs, stabbings. People will be scared to go outside. I'm just speculating, right? It could be any number of things, but the goal will be to deter people from going to the polls and to drive the mail-in vote, which can be, as you know, much more easily tampered with. And I've also predicted accurately, I predicted 6 months ago, there would be food shortages. Mm. There would be events happening so fast we would get disoriented. There would be cyber attacks. There would be gas shortages and energy shortages. All of those things have come to pass. So I'm scared. Honestly, I'm scared there could be a nuclear attack, right? I'm scared. They're absolutely acting as if something will happen in October. It will be like, oh, well, guess we can't, you know, for our own safety, for your safety, got to keep you safe. You can't have midterms. That's what it looks like to me. And
well,
I hope I'm wrong.
I'm 100% agreement. And again, you probably don't know too much about me. Didn't bother to research too much about me because you're on so many shows. But I'll just tell you, I've written 14 books, produced several documentaries. I produced a documentary that is 8.5 hours long called Siege. You can watch an hour for free at siegethemovie.com. And in there, I have people like Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, who is the chairman of the EMP Congressional Commission. So in December of 2019, I put out this documentary warning about the real threat of nuclear war. We warned that China and Russia were practicing a nuclear strike on NATO and America through what was perhaps the largest military exercise in world history, Vostok 18. A few months later, Iran joined in for that dress rehearsal. And what were they rehearsing? A nuclear strike on NATO and America. Okay? So check. You and I are in agreement on that. Food shortages. I started a freeze-dried food distribution company here with our company, our organization, in 2016 because I saw what was coming, and we actually started distributing freeze-dried food and are one of the largest freeze-dried food distributors through our organization. So check. We agree on that. Hemorrhagic fever, another pandemic. We've been talking about that extensively. And again, a Democrat that I wouldn't agree with on many issues, but he and I are on lockstep on so many on these issues, like you and I are tonight, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's talked about these things. I've been following his website in Children's Health Defense for several years, even prior to his book coming out. So I was very skeptical of the vaccines. I wrote a book in 95, which people can get, warning about a forced vaccination tracking system. And what would it look like and how it could be used to persecute you and even take your children from you. And that book was in 95. So how ironic, because the things, Dr. Wolf, I say, well, that house, he's a right-wing conspiracy nut. But wait a minute. You and I, I'm on the right, you're on the more certainly the left, and we're singing from the same songbook as to our concerns about government. And isn't that, at the end of the day, aren't liberals supposed to be concerned about overreach of government? Aren't conservatives supposed to be concerned about overreach of government? Traditional Democrats and traditional conservatives?
Well, first of all, thank you for speaking up on all those issues a decade or a decade and a half before they came to pass. It sounds like you were 100% correct on each of these warnings. And I'm going to go ahead and order some freeze-dried food from you because, you know, my husband and I are literally like, you know, how do we farm vegetables? How do we raise goats? Like, there's going to be, you know, there are food shortages, right? I warned people about this 4 months ago. You warned people about it 15 months ago. This is how tyrannies work. I mean, Stalin and Mao, you know, crushed their populations through food shortages. They drove the economies into the ground. The Chinese communists gave their starving populations food substitutes. And that's what Bill Gates wants to do, to weaken the population. We've seen all of this before. I'm the granddaughter of a woman who lost 9 brothers and sisters to Nazis. You know, I'm Jewish. We've seen this movie before. We know how it ends.
Well, see, I didn't know you came from a Jewish background. Okay, so let me tell you something else about me. I produced 2 conferences called Holocaust Horizon back in 2016 and 2017, and produced a documentary or a series of DVDs with my Jewish friends warning about the rise of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing a Middle East updates for 12 years on the 60 stations I'm on every Friday for 12 years. I'm one of the few on the right that has warned about the rise of anti-Semitism over and over and over again.
And thank you.
Boom, here you are agreeing with that as well. Dr. Wolf, this is what I don't understand over the years when I have warned about these things. A, why a lot of my friends on the right don't want to get these issues. They actually mock us. But then I think, B, where are all the liberal Jews that can at least join me and say, okay, House, we don't agree with his politics. We don't agree with his religious conservative Ronald Reagan worldview. We get that. But you know what? When it comes to warning about that the Holocaust can happen again, that anti-Semitism is rising, you know, we may disagree with them on 90% of the stuff, but the 10% is major life issues. I'd always wonder, where are my liberal Jewish friends, much less my conservative, but where are my liberal Jewish friends joining me on this?
Yeah. I mean, if you want me to really answer this, it's very depressing. I know the answer, but it's sad and I'm embarrassed about it. Look, something not good has happened on the left, which is that we, you know, smart people, educated people on the left, if we're no longer able, I am, but, you know, people I know and love who are well-educated, critical thinkers who should know better, are no longer able to have or want to have civilized conversations with people they don't agree with about other issues. It's a certain tribalism and narcissism and labeling that's extreme. Unfortunately, propagandists on the left used January 6th and kind of the narrative that all of you are racist, all of you are sexist, and you want to enslave women, and you're homophobic. That narrative has become so prevalent on the left that there's no longer, you know, I've been ostracized because I talk to people like you, you know, because I think it's so important to our country's survival for people across the political spectrum to talk to each other and to have open and honest and respectful civil debate and discussion. I think our republic depends on it, but there's been a kind of, I mean, I can't tell you, you know, the things people say to me who are my loved ones and friends when they know that I've been on Tucker Carlson or, you know, a show like this. Or,
yeah, wait till they find out you've been on this show. You know, I think one of the things, Dr. Wolf, in closing, that we're missing in America today is we're missing, and I have done extensive work for a documentary, part two coming out, but I've been researching for 30 years, brainwashing, psychological operations, information warfare, you know, whatever you want to call them. And I really did a lot of research for many, many years on the POWs of the Korean War and the Vietnam War. And many of them came back saying the same thing, and others have said these things without going through the horrors of being a POW. And that seems as though in America we have lost, we have dehumanized each other.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We have dehumanized each other, and I can look at someone that's very liberal, maybe even hostile to me. I can handle liberal. The problem is when they become so hostile because of my worldview, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't agree with them, but I'm not hostile to them. I would, if their car was broken down the side of the road, I would pull over and help them. If their wife or daughter was being attacked or about to be, I would step in between them. We've warned our audience during the 8 years of Barack Obama, you're not going to call into this radio show and make disparaging comments about, on a personal level, about the Obamas. You're not going to call into the show and you're not going to attack his daughters. They're off limits. I mean, why? We don't dehumanize people, okay? Right. I'm probably quicker to throw insults at people like Sean Hannity and some of these other people that irritate me sometimes because I think they're part of that controlled opposition. But we go out of our way not to dehumanize people, but I think we've lost that compassion for each other, that we're created in the image of God and that we cannot dehumanize people. Because as soon as we dehumanize each other, we're off to the Holocaust.
You're absolutely right. We couldn't agree with each other more. And we're also on the wrong side of history if we dehumanize each other. I mean, that's the core argument of my book, that these bad actors, notably tech companies, waged a war on human compassion, human spaces, on worship, on culture, on theater, on in-person learning, on, you know, in-person town halls, all the places where human beings are stronger with each other than they are alone. And I'm a tech CEO, so I understand this reasoning. They wanted to kill off the human advantage. And so they look at these policies of the last 2 years. They don't make medical sense, but they make sense when it's a war on the human. Isolating us, covering our faces, which are the image of God, making it impossible for us to communicate with each other, to smile at each other, a war on touch. You're not allowed to hug grandma or come within 6 feet of another person, a war on worship, a war on in-person learning. So our kids are, isolated at home and dependent on screens. And then, as you rightly point out, the vaccine passports to track us and to create a social credit system. I follow the money and I show readers how, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Nintendo, Bloomberg, you know, they're all a third to 40% above net revenue of the years before the pandemic because they killed off these human spaces, human culture, human community. So a huge, and they want to create a world, or they've gone a long way toward recreating a world in which the, you know, we need to ask permission of machines to be human. There's radical power in human beings embracing our humanity, defending our humanity, our human civilization. But we have to understand who our enemies are, and that these tech companies, China, the bad nonprofits like the Gates Foundation, they are waging war against our very humanity.
Absolutely. What's the name of the book, Dr. Wolf?
Thank you. It's called The Bodies of Others, COVID-19, The New Authoritarians, and the War Against the Human.
And they can find it, I'm sure, on Amazon and other such places, correct?
Yes.
And on your website, dailyclout.io. Wow.
That's right.
Very interesting. Well, maybe the left and the right can learn how to discuss issues like you and I just did tonight, right?
From your mouth to God's ears, as my grandmother would say, our republic depends on it.
Thank you, yeah. Dr. Wolf, for your time tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Dr. Wolf checking in. I hope you'll check out her website. Yeah, I wish we could have more conversations like that with people between the right and the left.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to tell you about our new emergency freeze-dried food kits we have available. We have a 72-hour kit that's just $24.99. It allows you to test our food, see if you like it, which I know you're going to, and then you can order more. Or while supplies last, you might want to go ahead and just get in your order. The parakeets in my office agree. They agree. That's the parakeets in my office. Can you believe this? I record spots with parakeets in my office. But they're squawking over how great these deals are. You can get the 72-hour kit. You can get the 2-week kit. You can get the 4-week emergency kit. You can get our 3-month emergency supply kit. You see, they cannot. Listen to that. They can't believe these deals. Reality is, my wife and people that work for me tell me these parakeets are quiet till I come in the office and start talking. Then they start chirping. So apparently they like me. But maybe it's they like these prices. Maybe it's they like these prices, folks. 72-hour kit, again, 2-week emergency kit, 4-week kit, and 3-month kit. Amazing deals, 25-year shelf life. 25-year shelf life. There are so many details now in each of these kits. We've just updated brand new information, brand new kits. Check it out. WVWTV.com/store. WVWTV.com/store. By the way, when you order from us, I think you're not only getting great products and great resources at a good competitive price, but it is a big part of our general operating budget. It's a big part of our general operating budget. So please order from us, won't you? Help yourself, help your family. We know that food shortages are all in the news. Biden has said they're coming. Dan Bongino the other day was talking about food shortages. Folks, it is becoming a reality, not to mention hyperinflation, the threat of terrorism, and so much more. Why would you not have emergency food supplies on hand? And apparently, the parakeets agree with me. So again, please go to WVWTV.com/store, WVWTV.com/store. You can also order the phone by calling Melissa at 901-825-0652, 901-825-0652. Delta, who's in the office, and the two parakeets and I, thank you for shopping at WVWTV.com/store.
Well, joining me now is Dr. James Thorpe is joining me right now. Sorry, Doc. You know how many doctors? I was actually working on my documentary the other day, and I was listing in the documentary all the doctors I've been interviewing. I was like, holy cow, I know a lot of doctors. So anyway, Dr. Thorpe, I just couldn't remember which doctor I had on for a minute there. Dr. James Thorpe, welcome. Thanks for joining us again tonight.
Brandon, it's such a privilege to be with you again, and I thoroughly enjoyed Dr. Naomi. She's incredible, and you guys had an amazing dialogue.
Well, isn't that interesting? The right and the left talking there and agreeing on more than we would ever thought we would. Where we don't agree, we can debate it out. Key areas of conversation there. Dr. James Thorpe, remind our audience as I bring up the PowerPoint, remind our audience what it is we're about to talk about.
Well, we are going to talk about the potential issues, complications, concerns of the COVID-19 gene therapy or pseudo-vaccine, if you will, potential implications that should have been excluded prior to the rollout.
Okay. All right, let's roll through them as fast as you can. Here we go. Here are our objectives. I'm just going to let you take the floor.
Yeah, let's see if I can. I'm having some technical difficulties on your end. How do I make this screen larger?
Can you see it? Can you see the slide there?
I can barely. No, it's really small. It's in a small window. Let's see.
How's that?
I think that's, there we go. I think that's better. There we go. Hey, that's good. I got it.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can go to the next slide. And the next slide.
All right.
And we covered this last week. Again, just to, the important point is that a man and the testis continue to, throughout the entire lifetime, every single hour, create new sperm, 150 million per ejaculation. But on the other hand, the woman only has about a million gametes or ovum before she's born. So those lipid nanoparticles that get concentrated in the ovaries have some pretty dire implications. Next slide. And we talked about, I think you've, we presented Dr. Michael Yeadon and his, he was a former vice president of Pfizer, brilliant PhD, incredible. And he's exposed a lot of the lies. He knows that they knew this way back when. In fact, I have in front of me a study from 2012 by Dr. Shadlich, Hoffman, Mueller et al. And it talks about the accumulation of nanoparticles in the ovary, a neglected toxicity risk question mark. That was published, 10 years ago. So they knew all of this information. Years ago. So next slide. This was, I call this the Mulligan article. I think Mulligan, are you a golfer? Isn't that a do-over in golf?
It's a do-over. I'm not a golfer. It brings out the flesh.
Yeah, I'm not, but Dr. Mulligan, yeah, he needs a do-over on this one because this is what Pfizer based their basically what they promised us. They said, you know, no, there's absolutely no chance that the RNA can be incorporated into human DNA by the enzyme reverse transcriptase. Oh, no, that won't happen. Next slide. Well, guess what? It did happen, and it was proven just a few months ago. This is a study. So Mulligan needed a Mulligan, and I guess Marcus gave him a Mulligan, but Marcus just in human cells documented that, in fact, the toxic mRNA cargo within the lipid nanoparticles injected into everybody got the vaccine did have the ability to get incorporated in the DNA. Now, you said, so what, Jim? What does that mean, Dr. Thorpe? Well, it means that potentially, when a woman gets that vaccine, she may have permanently altered her DNA forever and her offspring DNA and the offspring of her offspring and offspring of their offspring. It could be a permanent change.
You can come back to both of them. Just show Dr. Thorpe on the screen. There we go, guys. All right, keep going, Doc.
So those are really the concerns. And I don't know how much more you would want to get into on the slide set. I go into some.
Well, I do want to go to this next. Let's go into this because you provide quite a bit of graphics. Explain this one, please.
Yeah. So this is, and I give all credit, you know, to Tiffany Parato, who you should have on. She is the founder CEO of My Cycle Story, and we just published including 10 or so authors from around the country on her MySpace. And so there's a massive disruption in menses in the woman after the vaccination. And I just...
Is that one shot, two shots, three shots? What is the...
Any of the above. Any of the above.
So what if you have, as you know, a lot of our guys in the control room, college age, have college gals that are friends of theirs. Some of them play sports. Some of them, now that so much information has come out, wish they had not gotten the shot. They don't feel like sports has been worth it. And their biggest concern is that they're going to end up becoming sick long-term from the shot. But right there at the top, they often mention, I just hope I can have children. So how sad that we have college girls that were induced to take the shot so they could keep playing their sport and travel and all that. Now they find this all out and they're like, wait a minute, if it was between playing sports and losing the right to have children or bear children, I would quit sports. How concerned does a college student that only took one shot have to be about it impacting their ability to have children in the future?
Well, I want to offer everybody hope. I want to offer everybody hope. I think that with a tincture of time and with immune supplements and boosters, God willing, we can reverse vaccine injury. And I've had a lot of experience, good experience, women that have lost pregnancies, women that have had bad damage from the vaccine, clearly, obviously vaccine injured, and are hoping to have more children. And I give them an encouragement. I put them on a regime that I believe is safe and combined with the tincture of time will allow them, God willing, to have children.
So you're putting them on a regime that will hopefully repair and reverse the damage.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. So let's go back to this slide here. Do we need to say anything more about that one or move to the next one?
No, it's a little bit too heavy for...
Okay, we discussed that the other night there, and we discussed this. Okay, anything here?
This is... I just want to shout out. This is our work with my research colleagues, and we've published a trilogy, three separate publications, basically entitled COVID-19 and the corruption of the scientific medicine. So three of these incorporate probably 2,500 peer-reviewed publications. So we've studied a lot, and we believe these have all been published this year, and we believe that they thoroughly, irrefutably nail in the coffin of the vaccine. It's very comprehensive, and they're all open source.
And where will they find those? Where can they find them? Just type in those names and find them?
Yes. You can type in Thorpe, J.A., and the COVID-19 pandemic. And those are on PubMed right now. And you're welcome to go to my Getter account, capital J-A-T-H-O-R-P, at James A. Thorpe, M.D. Sorry, I got too many handles there. Getter at James A. Thorpe, M.D. And all of those publications are able to be downloaded. If you go to that one slide that you had up, that's Tiffany's work from the last slide you had up. Next one. Next one. Right. Sorry about that. One more.
Am I going the wrong direction?
No, in the right direction. There's just a lot of slides. I wanted to one more. Keep going. You'll come to some bloody tissue. Keep going.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You mean that right there?
There you go. So this is our group from the My Cycle story, and we just published this manuscript as well. And what we found, this is fascinating, and that so on the media, early last year, massive increase in menstrual abnormalities. So Tiffany Perotto, who is the founder and CEO of My Cycle story, actually started a sophisticated platform where we could keep track and women could call in their menstrual irregularities. And what we found was that, and this is just the first of three or four manuscripts off the database, but what we found was a massive surge in the decidual cast. Pictured on this is actually a decidual cast. And you've never heard of it, Brandon, I'm sure, and most of your viewers have not, but in the past, it's been extremely rare. And it, in fact, if you the world literature since 1913, there's only been about 40 cases reported in the medical literature. Well, just last year, there were like 294 cases in the women last year.
And what does it
so
mean?
So they're shedding.
What does it mean?
It's usually associated with an ectopic pregnancy or a miscarriage or prolonged progesterone supplementation. But we don't know what the cause of this is, but the massive surge is very concerning. Go to the next slide. I've got several pictures of embalmer's clots. And Tiffany, keep going. There you go. So this is a compliments of Mr. Richard Hirschman and Tiffany Parado and many others, all of us put together the series of these clots from several embalmers, because if you look at that decidual cast, it has an uncanny appearance with these lethal clots that have been pulled out of by the embalmers post-mortem. They have a very eerie, and they also talk about the blood of those who were vaccinated after they died being very thick, very difficult to wash off the metal post-mortem table or the skin or the gloves. So we postulate, we theorize, we speculate, no data for this, but that this abnormal, irregular shedding of the decidual cast may be associated with clotting and the stickiness, the change in consistency of the blood forming almost like a tissue-like substance that then is painfully passed. And that's what our respondents reported through My Cycle Story.
Wow. All right, and this? What's that?
There's another. Now, that's fibrin. So these are massive clots that are pulled out of the veins of these people after the time. Now, this is not a post-mortem event. This had to have occurred well before death, because it takes a long time. The white substance that you're seeing, Brandon, is actually fibrin. And the reason why this looks cleaner is because it's washed off with saline. So all the blood is coagulated, blood is taken off it. So it actually looks like, well, whatever you think it looks like, pasta or parasites or whatever you think it looks like, but that's fibrin. And the next slide,
you'll see.
What does
that mean when you say fibrin? What is that?
That's a huge blood clot that's killing people.
So that gets into their heart, their brain, and they're gone.
That gets in. They're massive clots that have never been seen before 2021. Massive clots. Look at the next one.
Gosh.
Okay, this is a complete. You talk about a cast. You saw that. Remember that we call that a decidual cast. A cast, that triangular kind of odd-looking tissue. Triangular tissue, that's the cast of the inside of the uterus. Well, this is basically a cast of the inside of the pulmonary vasculature. So this is what killed this person. This is a massive clot of the pulmonary vasculature.
And all these people were vaccinated?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, next slide. Look at this one. This is out of the right internal carotid artery. So there's no way that these can form after death. This is not a postmortem find. We've never seen, embalmers have never seen these before until last year. Richard Hirschman, thank you. Look at the size of these. You got a slide ruler. You got massive clots that, and they're very durable and they're very hard. So I think there's ample evidence that the vaccines have been associated with a massive increase in excess morbidity and mortality.
Wow. Let's talk real quick. Logan, I don't know if you have the graphic in there before we run out of time. He's got a meeting coming up. I sent it to you by email, Logan. He's got a meeting coming up, Dr. Thorpe does. It is this Friday night, May 19th and 20th. When is that, Dr. Thorpe?
So Thursday and Friday here in Gulf Breeze, Florida, right next to Pensacola Beach, we're having a two-day meeting. You see the lineup there. We got Dr. Peter Bregan, Dr. Peter McCullough. We got Dr. Brian Artis. We've got many more. And we're going to have a great time. We're going to have everybody speak there we go. Thank you for that.
And you got Dr. Ryan Cole, Jeff Childers, Dr. Angelina Ferrella. I've interviewed all these people.
You know them all. Then you should get down here.
I know I should, but I'm chained to the Dr. Judy Mikovits. I'm chained to the news desk. Oh, Peter McCullough. I've interviewed every one of these people that I've named so far. Now there are some people on here I have not interviewed, but everyone I've named so far, I've interviewed those people, and they're all going to be there live in person.
Some of them will be there virtually by a live feed. Others will be. I think Judy is going to be there. Obviously, I'm going to be there live. Dr. Ferrella is going to be there.
And what's
live.
The website where they can register or find more information?
God, that's a good question. Call me.
Okay. Let's just surely they could search something. What should they search? Let's see.
I would search Panhandle Freedom Rally.
Yeah, there you go. Panhandle Freedom Rally. Search Panhandle Freedom Rally, May 19th and 20th. Okay, as always, Doc, thank you, and I hope people will also follow you on your Gitter page.
Thank you very much, Brandon. I didn't realize you were such a prolific author. You've written how many books?
14.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. Keep up the work.
Thank you. Thank you. I should have written more by now, but I've got busy with a guy named Mike Lindell. But I've actually started switching from books to documentary, so I'm working on Brainwashed America Part 2 that'll be out this fall. But thank you, Doc. As always, we appreciate your being with us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Thank
be
you,
blessed.
Doc. Dr. James Thorpe checking in. Look at the website real quick, folks, before we go. Again, the warehouse today, I went out there, and they were busy. There was three of them, and they were working hard filling these orders. And, again, another shipment is coming in. We got a huge truckload. We were the only thing on that truck when it backed up into our warehouse. And we got another big order coming in because we're blowing through it. Again, you heard what Dr. Wolf said tonight and so many others. You better order it while you can because I can't promise you that I can always get it. But I got it now. But, you know, a month from now, I may not. WVWTV.com/store. WVWTV.com/store. 72-hour kit if you just want to test it. 2-week, 4-week, 3-month, WVWTV.com/store. Hey, do you appreciate all we're doing here? I need your support. Will you go to MyPillow.com, use that promo code B66, the promo code B66. There's a buy one, get one free sale. Can't promise you how long that's going to go. It can't go very long. They regulate how long those things can last. So please, go to MyPillow.com, use that promo code B66. Third way you can support us, just go to WVWFoundation.com. You make a contribution to all the work that I do, all the research, all the free shows. WVWFoundation.com. You also find our mailing address, but you can support the work I do and all the free programming that I put out by going to my foundation, WVWFoundation.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you watched Worldview Report? That is our new nightly Worldview broadcast. It's a 30-minute nightly television broadcast. It takes about 7 of us 15 man hours a day to put this all together. You'll see what I mean and how quality it is when you watch it for free at WVWTV.com. That's our 30-minute new nightly news report. But you know what else we're doing? We're taking this and putting it at worldviewradio.com each day as an MP3. For those of you that want to just listen to it while you walk the dog, work in the kitchen, drive in the car, work out. So we're putting it up not only as a TV show, but as an MP3 as well at worldviewradio.com. We're also now taking my 90-minute live television show that airs Monday through Friday, Brandon House Live, and we're now posting that also as a free MP3 at worldviewradio.com. So you can listen to Worldview Radio, my daily radio show, as you have for years at worldviewradio.com. You can listen to my 30-minute nightly news broadcast as now an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. And you can listen to my 90-minute live television show now as an MP3 at worldviewradio.com. Now, not only are these all at worldviewradio.com, you can also watch them as a TV show at WVWTV.com. Now, here's the deal. Did you know we spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth, paying for the bandwidth for people to watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows for free? Not only that, do you know what it costs to keep a staff going that helps me with all this? Did you know that we also have a utility bill that is like $1,500 to $1,700, close to $2,000 a month? Because even in the Mid-South, pretty much have to keep the air conditioning going year-round or the servers could overheat. And we also are pulling a lot of electricity with our TV studio. So think about our utility bill, our insurance, the people we hire and have to pay to keep working on our team, the bandwidth we pay for, our broadband high-speed internet. You cannot believe the thousands and thousands of dollars it takes to do the television and radio programs we're doing at the quality we're doing them. Please go right now to WVWFoundation.com and make a contribution. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our mailing address, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Thank you so much for your support.
Thanks so much for watching. Take care.